What is the sacrifice of worship? We've got three readings here. Three readings that in some way or another, they are connected to the sacrifice of worship. What is it? Is it you? Is it me? What is it? What do we bring to the table? What do we offer to Jesus? And this morning, I want to briefly go to open up a little bit why we worship and the sacrifice that we bring. So three things I want to say. One is the body, your flesh, the body of Christ, the mind, and the sacrifice. In Romans chapter 12, verse 1, says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." What is it? What is he talking about? Why is Paul saying to us, "I urge you, in God's amazing mercies, to come before him, because when you do so, you bring an offering. You bring something beautiful. It is holy and acceptable to God when we come to worship." Why is the body so important? Why is Paul addressing this? And I think the reasons, well, there are many reasons, but for this morning only, the reason I want to say to you is that your body, my body, the whole body of Christ has been consecrated, meaning has been sanctified, has been justified. In Romans chapter 6, we read this, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." Just think about that. In other words, what Paul is saying is this: if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have professed faith in him, not just for the life to come, but for this life, something has happened. You were dead in your sins before you met him, and now you're no longer dead, but alive in Christ. And therefore, Paul in Romans chapter 6, verse 13 says this, "Do not offer any part of your body to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as instrument of righteousness." The minute we become a Christian, the minute we say yes to Jesus, his righteousness comes in us, and we are found to be righteous. I love it, that. I love that, to know that I am righteous before the Lord, that I don't have to do anything else or to impress him or to do, you know what I mean? It's not just, it's not about works. It is by grace, but that he imputed on me his righteousness, and therefore I can come before the Lord to worship, that blows my mind. That blows it. And theologians have written extensively on this, and they will carry on writing on this, because it is a miracle. It is supernatural. Only God can do that. Why he did it? Well, you know the story. Jesus was found to be without sin, and therefore he became the perfect sacrifice. And now we are together with him. We are united with him. Paul's explained it even better in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15, when he says this, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new is here. Let me say that again. I want you to listen carefully to what he's saying. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new is here. You are a new creation. The old self has been crucified. Yes? Do you believe this? But sometimes we do this. We carry a corpse on our shoulders. We go like this. We carry a dead person on our shoulders. And I don't like the smell of a corpse. It doesn't smell nice. I come from Chile, I've been in Spain, and when people die, they bury them immediately, especially in summer, because the stench is horrible. Sometimes we kind of live our Christian life following Jesus, carrying a dead corpse. And the Bible is saying, you don't have to do that anymore. You don't have to carry that old person. That person was crucified. You've been justified. And therefore, you are a new creation. Your body, ourselves, your members, our members, this is not just the physical frame that you see here in me, which is awesome and I like it. Okay? But it is us as a community. Us. This is important. We bring the body, we bring ourselves as a living sacrifice for worship. It means saying yes to him. It means saying that when we don't feel like it, we say yes to him. It means that we come together and bring ourselves to him. It is not to bring ourselves so that, like Christ, he's done it. He is the perfect sacrifice. But we come before him. We say yes to him. So, your bodies, my body, together, we are the redeemed people of God. And therefore, his presence can dwell in us. Second, the mind. It says here, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. Why is he saying do not be conformed to the patterns of this world? Because in this world, and I know, there are so many conflicting ideologies competing for, against each other. We know this. You know this. You grew up here. I didn't. I just came in. You know how powerful ideas can be. Ideas can transform a nation. I know this has been recorded, so I'm not going to say anything, but just watch BBC News. Watch Sky News. And if you want to watch CNN, watch it. You might be looking like you watch CNN by certain people, but that's okay. Right? All the false news and all that stuff, they are competing with ideas and ideologies. And sometimes we abide them, we live by them, and we believe them. But us here, the Bible says, do not be conformed to them. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is he saying? He's saying basically this. Your mind, my mind, we need a revival. That's renewing. That's renewing. We need to be revived. Our minds has to be revived. We need to become awake. We need to be alert. This is why Paul is saying, do not conform to this pattern of this world, but be renewed, be revived in your mind, so then you will know what God's will is. And his will is what? Pleasing and perfect. Can we go wrong? I don't think so. It's pleasing and it's perfect. This is why we bring ourselves together. Now, what I have found is that many of us, I'm not saying you, but in my Christian life, I have come against this kind of, how can I say this? Because I don't want to be provocative. I just might say it. Okay? I look at my life and I'm thinking, you are not the same person that you used to be, you know, 5-6 years ago. What happened to you? And the answer to that is that I began to be a lover. A lover. I began to seek the Lord in worship. And as I said last week, the beautiful thing about worship is that he doesn't need our worship, but we do. Because when we come into worship, we are transformed. And when I came into worship, I came as a lover, and therefore the lover of my life, my God, my Jesus, began to transform the way I see people. It began to transform. He messed up my mind. So from going like looking at somebody and saying, oh, you are a sinner, right? Now I look at a person and I say, you are so loved by the Lord. Something shifted in me. It doesn't matter who I'm standing with, whatever position they held, all I see is how the Lord sees them. Because we are sons and daughters of the living God. And that's how I see you. And that's how I see a lot of people. And it is hard. But when compassion kicks in and that you know that you are loved, what I see is not condemnation, but love. Where do I get all this? Well, Romans chapter 8 says this. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption as sonship. You are adopted. You're chosen. You are adopted. You're chosen. You are adopted and chosen. I am adopted and chosen. Come on. This is so good. This is so moving that the Lord has put his eyes upon me and he says, yes. His yes, his approval is on you. It's on me. That shifted my mind. From a mind of slavery. You know what the mind of slavery is? They have to prove that they are worth every time. And because of Jesus, we don't have to do that. We've been already approved, sealed. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says, you're being sealed with the Holy Spirit. And now it's saying, you have been adopted. It is here. It is in the mind. We need to believe that truth. We need to absorb it. Why Paul is saying this in the context of worship? Because we need to come before him as sons and as daughters of the living God. Simple, isn't it? We need to come before him as sons and daughters. And that is who you are. Right? Yes, that's who you are. You're a son and a daughter of the King, and he is pleased with you. And lastly, just to finish this section, have you ever come across 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16? Now, I know some of you are going, where is that? Some of you don't know, and that's okay. I got it here, so I'm cheating. Okay, I got it in front of me. This is what it says. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. I'm just going to leave it there. We'll come back sometime to that. But I'm going to say this. But we have the mind of Christ. Think about that. That you what? Are you saying that I got the mind of of the one who was the Word and became a living flesh, and the one who says yes, and the one who came and rose again. Everything was formed, as Colossians says, created by Jesus. Yes. There's no restrictions. There's no lack of creativity. I love when the created people come together. Seriously, I love it. It's an expression of the beauty and diversity of the Lord. We have the mind of Christ. And lastly, very quickly, the offering. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, it says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by human, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built together, or you're being built into a spiritual house to be holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. You and I, we are altars. You and I are temples. Don't you know that Paul says in 2 Corinthians that you know that you are a temple of the Holy Spirit? In Ephesians chapter 2 says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God. And he says this, in him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. When you get up in the morning, let's be honest, okay? Right? And you look at the mirror, what do you see? Do you go, oh no? Or do you go like with the eyes, you know, like looking at the light? Or you go, wow. What do you do? I'm being serious. I mean, I know I'm being serious. I mean, what do you do? When you get up in the morning, right? You go and you go, you know, shave or whatever you do. You look at the mirror. And it's funny, isn't it? We spend about 2 seconds looking at each other. And it feels like an eternity. And it's like we may be lost or something is happening. But what do you see? What do you see? What if every time or every morning or tomorrow morning you go get up, look at yourself in the mirror, and you invite the presence of Jesus to stand behind you? And you ask him, what do you see? What do you see? What do you think he's going to say to you? You might be saying, I haven't had my maker yet. or I'm a mess. And you're trying to speak to Jesus, and he's looking at you. And what is he saying? Well, I will be saying, I love you. I love you. And I love you. You look amazing. And I love you. That is why we worship. That is you. That is the sacrifice of worship. When we come before him, we come as we are. And he sees right through us. And what he sees righteousness, holiness, beauty. And therefore, this is the most amazing miracle. Peter says, you know what? You are a royal nation. Your priesthood to declare the beauty of the Lord to other generations. That's who we are. And that's what we bring. We bring ourselves. With this, I finished. When we get this, we smell really great. Seriously, we are the aroma of Christ. You and I, you know, I don't know what perfume you use, okay? Coco Chanel or, you know, Boots, cheaper one, I don't know. Whatever. But his perfume is even better. When we worship, the smell of our sacrifices, us in the temple, the smell that we give out, it is attractive. It is beautiful. It is pleasing to God. So as we come, we're going to sing. And we're going to bring ourselves to him. And if there is a voice saying to you, oh, no, you don't look great, now just ignore it. That's not Jesus speaking to you. Jesus says, come as you are. I love your worship. Let's come together and sing. Let's come together and declare. Let's come together. Let's come together and open our lips and offer a sacrifice of worship because he's seen us.